children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
I think we all know who likes to torture for this. And it ain't
funny,
me.
It's me. Anthony hates it.
What? The semen could have been there consensually, all right? Who knows?
Okay, I've been watching too much Law & Order SVU.
I know, you went right to it. See? Oh, boy.
Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Semen!
And that's how we're starting.
I could just... You know, you're closer to me this week. I could just reach over and just, like...
And then have your own murder scene afterwards.
Throttle
I get it.
You.
Yeah.
That's a great word. Just throttle.
Joining us this week, James, welcome back.
Hello.
Joining us for the first time, Wyatt, hello.
Hi, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yes.
I'm excited to be here.
Today, this week, we're continuing our Ghost versus Vampires versus Month, and it is a vampire month, or week, so we're jumping in to one of my personal favorites, and I'm excited to hear what everyone thought.
Yeah.
We're talking about What We Do in the Shadows.
Woo!
Yeah.
From 2014.
Oh my gosh, the ancient year of 2014, Jesus.
Right? That was almost 10 years ago.
Fuck.
I mean, you can tell, because when they're just like, oh, look, modern technology, I'm like, what the fuck?
Is that an iPhone 4? What the hell's going on here?
Well, and we'll get into it, but this movie took a very long time to get made, so as they were filming, I think that, like, the technology...
It like, dropped up a little bit.
Yeah. Overshadowed the filming process.
Oh, gosh.
Overshadowed the shadows.
Hey, see, look.
I fit right in.
He's a natural.
Anyway, kicking it off with good old IMDb, James.
Okay, Viago, Deacon, and Vladislav.
Correct.
Are vampires who
you
are
just watched it.
I know, but whatever.
I'm glad I didn't have to pronounce
are
that.
Are vampires who are struggling with the mundane aspects of modern life, like paying rent, keeping up with the chore wheel, trying to get into nightclubs, and overcoming flatmate conflicts.
Oh.
Just normal...
Normal everyday stuff.
Normal everyday stuff.
This wonderful film is directed by Jemaine Clement and Taika Waititi. It is written by Jemaine Clement and Taika Waititi. Produced by Taika Waititi, Chelsea Winstanley, and Emmanuel Michael.
Very good.
All right.
Yeah. It is starring Taika Waititi, Jemaine Clement, Jonathan Brew, Corey Gonzalez,
Sure.
Let's go with that. And Stu Rutherford. It was released on January 19th, 2014 for the Sundance Film Festival. January 19th, 2014 in New Zealand and February 13th, 2015 in the good old United States.
It's actually June 19th, 2014.
June 19th. I can't read.
They wait 5 years to release the movie the exact same date.
You know what? Whatever, man.
It's a weird strategy, but all right.
Yeah, it's a bold strategy. Kylie's going to pay us off for it.
So what I was saying was it was June 19th in New Zealand, 2014, February 13th. Whatever, man. So the budget for this movie was $1.6 million, and the box office was a meager $7.3
million. I mean...
To make a movie like that for $1 million is pretty good.
Look, it's a cult classic. So, I don't think those numbers matter.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a favorite.
We're getting, what, 4 seasons of, like, a TV show?
Based on the movie.
It's still talked about.
Oh, my gosh. And why, you still haven't seen the show yet, right?
I haven't seen the show. I just watched the movie.
You haven't seen the show? Okay. So, for anybody not knowing what we're talking about, there is a show. It's very fantastic. And if you've seen the show and not the movie, you're kind of messing up. Go watch the movie.
Watch this movie for sure, because it's great.
I got entirely caught up on the TV show in, like, a week.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I watched all of it.
That's fantastic.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And all the episodes are, like, it's a half an hour TV spot, so they're really, really quick to watch.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. They end up being, like, 24 minutes or something like that. Something really small.
It's a very fast watch.
Anyway, take it away, Wyatt.
Yeah.
All right, we're just talking about, what, the facts of Taika Waititi here?
We're talking about the life and, I guess, like, how Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement came to be the duo that we know and love today.
All right, so Tyke David Cohen, I did not know that was his name.
No.
Was born on August 16th, 1975, in how the
I put pronunciation. There's pronunciation notes right next to it.
Raukokore?
Yes.
Boom.
In the Bay of Plenty region of New Zealand's North Island, and grew up in both the East Coast and the Aro Valley of Wellington. So his father was an artist of Maori descent, whilst his mother, Robin Cohen, is a school teacher. Waititi has frequently discussed his heritage, saying that his mother's family were Russian Jews and other European industry, while his father's side was Maori and a little bit of French Canadian.
He talks a lot about just being Jewish and being a filmmaker and being Maori. So it's really cool to watch him talk about it.
I feel like a lot of these Hollywood types we cover, too, have school teachers as moms. Isn't that true?
A little bit.
It's very strange. I'm like, okay, cool. Well,
the encouraging of the artistic process.
Right? Yeah. Follow your dreams! And then, like, a handful of them make it, which is great.
Oh, man.
That's why we need more teachers to encourage people to become artists.
Yeah!
Waititi describes himself as a Polynesian Jew, although he has stated that he never grew up in an actively practicing Jewish household. Waititi's parents split up when he was around 5, and he was raised primarily by his mother. He attended Onslow College, then studied theater at Victoria University of Wellington, where he graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in 1997.
Oh my god.
Damn.
1997 seems like ancient history.
I know. Especially because, like, a lot of us didn't really know of Taika Waititi until somewhat recently.
Yeah, that's like a couple decades of being, like, just, all right, we'll find out, obviously, as it comes along.
Yeah, exactly. So you kind of feel like he comes out of nowhere, but you're like, no, he's been around.
Yeah, I didn't know him, but I knew Jemaine Clement from a long time ago.
From Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, because I was a Flight of the Conchords fan.
Yeah. Me too.
That show was amazing.
Oh my god, yeah. The hippopotamus thing, I think about it all the time.
Is it? It was here he started a theater group called So You're a Man with someone who you might know, Jermaine Clement. Jermaine Clement was born on January 10th, 1974 in Masterton, Wellington, New Zealand, and was raised by his Maori mother.
So that's something I didn't know about him. He's also half Maori.
Interesting.
He doesn't quite, couldn't tell, really.
I mean, it's not, you know, you can never always tell, but...
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't know that I'm half white by looking at me either.
Yeah.
Why are you racist?
What the fuck you are? I don't know.
I was like, something racist is about to come out of Flynn's mouth. 3, 2, 1.
I know, speak
Flynn has been canceled.
No, like, speak directly into the microphone.
Right.
You're about to get Rogan, man.
I like cover the mic and just start saying slurs. Oh, we're back.
In 10 years, we're going to air this and cancel you.
He's not racist, people.
It was a joke.
But if you want to cancel him, we're all for it.
Yeah, we'll support you.
Don't listen to these people.
In college, he studied drama and film at Victoria University of Wellington. There he met Taika Waititi, whom he went on to form previously mentioned So You're a Man. While in So You're a Man, they toured New Zealand and Australia with some success. They also formed the Humor Beast alongside Jermaine Clement, which received New Zealand's highest comedy accolade, the Billy T Award, in 1999.
Oh, the Billy T Award!
Billy T Award, okay.
I have no idea. I was like, what is this? And there was like, I don't even think there was a
description.
But you look at Wikipedia, Billy T, it's like, okay, now that's actually the murder thing.
That's the mystery. During his time in university, he also met Brett McKenzie, forming Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
But first, Waititi and Clement needed to make a movie.
Oh.
So, something I left out, which I did want to, that it didn't really fit into the narrative of that very small section, but after he, Taika Waititi basically separated his stage name, so to speak, because he did go by Taika Cohen.
Oh, okay.
I imagine that would have been really confusing.
For a while. And then for art and theater, I think, it was Taika Cohen. And then for other artistic endeavors, it was Taika Waititi. And then after his first short film came out, he just started going by Taika Waititi.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, which is his father's last name.
Mm. Oh, that's cool. Okay. All right. So, in total for this, it took 9 years to bring What We Do in the Shadows to the screen, which I didn't know until reading that. Holy shit, that's a long fucking time.
Yeah,
I hinted at it earlier, but yeah.
That's really long. Okay, so in the time it took to be made, the number of vampire films and TV shows dramatically increased, which actually worried Waititi and Clement.
That's interesting because, yeah, you start that movie like before Twilight and everything, and then all that.
I think Underworld is going on, and then like.
Underworld, yeah. Twilight, The Vampire Diaries.
Oh, that's true. True Blood.
True Blood. True Blood.
Yeah. Around that time.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, like, you watch those and then you watch this and you're like, oh, it's not the same.
Well, I love that they were so worried because it makes fun of itself in like the best, definitely, smartest way possible.
That kind of works for it because it sort of came out when everyone's kind of over vampire stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. So then this new, like, refreshing take comes out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People have a base to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that works out perfect. But in 2005, the duo wrote and directed a short film titled What We Do in the Shadows, Interviews with Some Vampires, starring Johnny Brugge, Kari Gonzalez-Masur, and Stu Rutherford in their roles of Deacon, Nick, and Stu, respectively. So, Stu Rutherford, an IT technician and high school friend of Waititi's in real life, was initially told he would only have a bit part in the film so he would act more natural when filming. Good old classic director trick, just fucking tricking you. That he did not realize his role was so important until the film's premiere.
That's hilarious.
But I mean, like, you're coming on set more often than not. How would you not piece that together? He's like, again? He's like, yeah, we need you the whole week. Okay, then.
Like, imagine watching the movie and you're like, I think I'm the star of this movie.
Right?
I know that thought process. Like, hey,
yeah.
I thought I was going to be here for like 5 minutes of this.
It's like, I'm up here a lot.
Yeah.
I'm more times than you, man. He's all fucking fuming. So, Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi wrote 150 pages of scripts, but chose not to show it to a single person involved in the film, both crew and cast.
Yes.
They only described broad strokes of what each scene was about, sometimes providing a beginning and an end point. This was to keep things spontaneous and to allow the actors to be surprised by the events unfolding before their very eyes.
He's always done, even with Thor Ragnarok, a lot of that movie was improvised.
I mean,
it was that same type of
thing. Really?
Yeah, they had like an outline of how the scene would go, but the actors just like worked with it.
I love that he's just like, we'll see what happens.
Yes,
and it's pure fucking art.
I know, it's great.
Well, Jon Favreau did that too on the first Iron Man also.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Wait, so...
They said they barely had a script.
Yeah, they barely had a script.
Can you imagine the Dance of Seduction scene, but like, it's all improvised?
Which thing?
With Deacon.
When he's just like, and he's like dancing, and he's like, this is an erotic dance for my friend.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh,
that is so good. That makes me feel so much better about that scene. I mean, it's already amazing, but can you imagine like how many times they had to shoot that?
Yeah.
I love imagining like the camera guy who's had to watch it over and over again has to try just not laughing hysterically while filming it.
Man, that is great.
The character creation of Peter was initially conceived as devoid of personality, but unscripted scenes of the actor in makeup were expensive, so extra footage of the actor in makeup was shot, such as the scene of him listening to music. So while filming...
Peter.
Huh?
I said poor Peter.
Right? Yeah.
I loved Peter.
While filming, the hill where the vampires have a run-in with the werewolves is the same hill filmed in The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, good old 2001.
Nice.
That's funny.
Where Frodo and the hobbits are running from the Black Rider and hiding under the roots of a tree.
That's so funny.
Cool. Isn't that
now
cool?
I have to watch it again.
again. Oh, all I need is another excuse to watch The Lord of the Rings.
Right, yeah.
Of course, they lost a charred polystyrene. What is that?
Polystyrene
skeleton body during the shoot after throwing it in the harbor for a funeral scene. The scene didn't end up in the film, actually, so that is a wasted budget right there. And not realizing it was drifting away, Taika Waititi commented on the situation saying, quote, it was quite realistic looking, so we had to put a press release out there saying if anyone finds a charred body washed up on a beach, don't be alarmed, it's just a prop.
End Every quote. Single quote I read of Taika Waititi's, I can hear him say.
Oh yeah,
like,
totally.
He's just like, his voice is just so distinctive to me.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
That's great promotion for the movie. Just release a body out.
Like, if you find a charred body, it's totally fine.
By the way, you have a movie coming out.
Like, oh man, we love, like, actually, we don't need marketing budget.
That's right, perfect. Yeah, that's great.
This press right here. So about 125 hours of footage was shot. Holy shit. Most of which was improvisation from the cast. The process of editing that down to a 90-minute movie took almost a year. And the directors have stated that they are considering making all the footage available online so that fans can edit their own
That's awesome.
Oh, I would love that.
I would tell you, like, cool. I just keep thinking of that scene. That's why I was just laughing right now myself. was like, dear God, that was improvised. Oh,
that's fantastic, dude.
The procession of shame, improvised.
Shame. Bad vampire.
It's like, so I can come back down a little bit. So, no, for now you're vanished.
Oh man.
Oh my god, the line where it's just like, why do we eat virgins? I don't know. I just feel like, you know, if you're eating a sandwich, you'd feel better if you knew no one had fucked it.
That was hilarious. That was fucking great.
Like, I died.
Tell me you weren't dying when they were making fun of the Lost Boys.
Oh.
And he was like, why would you turn my dick into a snake? I was like, I lost it the first time I saw it. I was like, that's amazing. Dude. He's like,
time was spaghetti?
Basketti. Yeah, sit down. Have your basketti.
I love when he bites a woman's neck and it bleeds everywhere. Yes. He's freaking out. Yeah. He's like, well, I think she had a nice time.
He puts a little napkin down. It's like small as hell.
And like they call it back later when he's running around. He's doing it again. Like another person.
He just keeps hitting a main artery.
Ugh. So good. So this movie's so good, people. Anyway.
It is.
So What We Do in the Shadows was released in a limited release on February 13, 2015 in New York City and Los Angeles, followed by a screaming in San Francisco, Irvine, Philadelphia, Boston, Seattle, and Washington, D.C.
One of these things is not like the other.
The film was heavily pirated. After the shutting down of a piracy website based in Mount Wellington, Auckland, the website revealed that at 277,000 downloads, What We Do in the Shadows was one of its most heavily pirated films.
Holy shit.
That's why it explains the grossing.
Yeah, exactly, right.
On Rotten Tomatoes, the film holds an approval rating of 96% based on 187 reviews with an average rating of 7.8 out of 10.
That's one of the best reviewed movies we've covered.
Until next week.
Oh, shit. All right.
True.
The site's critical consensus reads, quote, smarter, fresher, and funnier than a modern vampire movie has any right to be. What We Do in the Shadows is bloody good fun.
And it is.
Yes, it is. The Telegraph's Tim Robey found it desperately funny. On Letterboxd, WWDITS.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Got it. I knew that.
Roll with the punches.
Sorry, man.
I didn't get it either.
On Letterboxd, Wad Tits says.
Wad Tits. On Letterboxd, What We Do in the Shadows has a 4.1 rating out of 254,000 reviews. We're just going to skip right
now. I just got tired of typing out What We Do in the Shadows. Like, look at the title of the outline.
Man, I'm like Ron Burgundy. Whatever you put on the teleprompter, I'm going to read it. Damn it. Don't do that to me.
I'm sorry. I literally just got so tired of
writing. I was literally going to go, what would dits? Anyway.
You don't even say it again. The rest of it's the last time. Right there.
look, man. Whatever.
I got really tired of writing. Yeah. It was just that one
This
moment.
Is what happens, Wyatt. Welcome. Going back to Letterboxd. Former movie enjoyer reports. What? That's his name?
Yes.
Oh, their name? Former movie enjoyer?
This is the second or third time we've used this.
Former movie enjoyer with 4 stars says, quote, I was doing an erotic dance for my friends and you ruined it. I was in the zone. My friends were loving it. That's a pretty good review.
It's a quote from the movie for anyone who hasn't
seen it. We were talking about the erotic dance. Yeah. So anyway, Joan with 4 stars says, quote, when people tell you that they have... like having guy friends because there's no drama, tell them to watch this. It's so true. That's pretty good. User Aaliyah with 4.5 stars says, quote, very bold of this film to inject a shot of serotonin straight to my heart every 10 seconds and think I wouldn't notice. User Sri with 5 stars says, quote, I go for a look, which I call dead but delicious. Bitch, me to the fuck. End quote.
What?
I don't know.
Bitch, me too. The fuck?
Ah.
Internet colloquialisms. My God.
I mean.
God, none of you people are on Twitter.
Look, man, I'm there, but I'm just not that active, right?
Clearly, I can tell.
James only gets hate mail from Twitter.
I know. I really do, apparently.
I thought it was funny.
I just find tweets that I can just share as memes on Instagram. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So
posers.
Yeah, we're all
they
Twitter
get fed
posers.
To me.
Right.
A sequel to the film focused on the werewolves depicted in What We Do in the Shadows was in development, but stopped due to some unresolved production issues. That sucks. Because
that would have been good.
I love that dynamic.
That was fucking hilarious.
I mean, it's even in the show.
Yeah.
It's great in the show, too. In May 2019, Waititi said, quote, Werewolves is a film that Jermaine and I kept pretending that we're making. Every couple of years, we would say we're making this new film called Werewolves, which follows the werewolves from the film. I feel bad to even mention it now because we keep saying it. But it's like a dad saying, yeah, I'll be home for Christmas. I suppose that we're just two dads on the road enjoying our lives and going, we're not coming home for Christmas. We'll send a postcard. It's not like we don't want to come home for Christmas. We would like nothing more, but we have a lot of shit going on. When are you going to die? Do you have a deadline before your death? I guarantee it before then. 5 years, 10 years. It took us 7 years to write the first film, so you do the math. That was a sad thing to say. His interviews are always like this. Oh, he's yeah. just so like...
When I read that, really I was funny. Like, I have to like get that into the outline. It was so
He's always funny. Like so sarcastic yeah. and yeah. so like random. And it's amazing.
I feel like yeah.
Well, it shows like the people who work on him in his movies all say like they love working with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he talks like this yeah. all day.
When he was talking about playing Hitler and Jojo Rabbit, oh, it was God. So great. It was
that
so
was
good.
So funny.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
I think he can actually get people to improvise because he's that way 100% on set. People are like, oh, I got to match this fucking energy.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And that's why. That's right. why you fucking works.
I mean, like, I don't know for sure, but you probably don't feel this pressure of like it has to be perfect. I'm sure he has this yeah. mindset of like you can fuck around and do whatever.
He's the anti-James Cameron.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So, in March of 2019, FX premiered What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, which we've been talking about. But we'll cover that another day.
Definitely.
After I watch it.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a good one.
Waititi and Clement are producers on the show and are involved with it to this day.
They also guest on it from time to time.
Yes, oh, they cool. do.
Do they play their characters or they just appear?
Do you want me to answer that question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they play the, they play the characters.
Yes. We're not going to say how and why, but just go watch it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
So that's the general background of the movie. We say this usually before we do a plot trade-off, because we're going to do a plot trade-off, but watch this fucking movie. It's so good.
It was really funny. Like, I hadn't seen it. I'd heard a lot about it. And so now watching it, I fucking loved it.
Oh, it's great. It's think of Parks and Rec, but with vampires.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. It's literally like that.
That same energy. It's really, really good.
It's great.
Especially Taika Waititi's character is supposed to be like so nice. Like, yeah. Is like so harmless, doesn't want to kill people. It's so funny.
Taika Waititi based his character off of his mom.
Oh, that's cool.
Like kind of the neurotic kind of like very, he based it off of his mom.
That's hilarious.
That's great.
I thought it was cool. So, if you haven't seen this movie, go check it out, especially if you're a fan of the TV show. Some people did it in reverse order, Anthony Fuentes.
Yes,
watched
that was
the
me.
TV show and then saw the movie. But as long as you see both, I think you're getting something out of it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think we had started the first season of the show, but then we found out about the movie. So I went and watched the movie first and then came back to the show.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So I think that's how it worked out.
I had known about the movie for a while because the quote, I go for a look, which I call dead but delicious, I've seen floating around the internet forever. And I was like, what is this? And then there's like a gif that floats around the internet of Vladislav when he's a cat and his face is like that is one of the funniest things ever to me. I think it's so funny. So I've known about it, but I didn't watch it until October of 2020.
Yeah, I would say that's probably right around when we did too, because I think Enrique bought it, and then he was like, "We got to watch the movie," because he had seen it already too.
Mm. Okay.
And we watched it, and I was like, "This is amazing.
It's hilarious."
Yeah, yeah.
Like at first, I was like, "Okay, I like mockumentaries, but what is it gonna be like?" I already really like Flight of the Conchords, right. So I was like, "Okay."
Mm-hmm.
And Taika Waititi wrote and directed a couple episodes of Flight of the Conchords as well. So
that was my thing. Like, I already knew that I loved Taika Waititi, so like as soon as I saw his name on it, I'm down to watch it.
I'm sold.
Yeah,
I still haven't seen Jojo Rabbit.
It's
yet.
Great.
I still haven't seen
it. It's fantastic.
So fucking good.
I really want to watch it.
It's
like,
so good.
I've seen like little clips of him talking about playing Hitler and what it means to be a Jewish person playing
Hitler. Yeah.
Did you see the clip where he's talking about directing the movie while dressed as Hitler?
No.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's a fantastic, fantastic movie. I highly recommend it.
Okay, I'll watch it. I just know one of my old friends went to go see it in theaters and he was just like, it was really fucking sad. And I'm like, okay.
Well, I mean, it's revolved around World War II, so.
Well, yeah, duh.
Yeah, like they're heavy parts, I would say, but it's fucking hilarious.
But it's like dark comedy at its finest.
Yeah.
And I mean, Taika as the imaginary friend Hitler for the little boy is just, you already know what you're getting into with that.
So
let's just say that.
Okay, I gotta watch this as soon as possible.
I'll watch it. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I don't know why I took his advice. I never took his advice on anything. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Is it time?
It's time. Let's
break it down.
Dive into the plot. So, kicking it off, a documentary crew follows four vampire roommates. Viago, Vladislav, Deacon, and Peter, who share a flat in Wellington, a suburb of Tearo. Sorry if I butchered that. All of the vampires possess supernatural powers, including levitation and the ability to transform into animals.
Can I mention really quick that, like, was crying laughing when they're arguing, they fly up together on the table.
That happens a lot in the show.
It's so funny in the show.
Viago is a 379-year-old dandy from the 17th century who originally traveled to New Zealand in the 1910s in search of Catherine, the love of his life. Vladislav is an 8,602-year-old known as Vladislav the Poker.
I forgot about that.
Who is haunted by memories of his nemesis, the Beast. And Deacon is a 183-year-old former peddler and the young rebel of the group who is turned into a vampire by Peter, a reclusive 8,000-year-old vampire who behaves like a feral animal.
I love how the old ancient vampires, like, even in the show, they're just, they're decrepit, but also fucking brutal.
Yeah, definitely.
Harsh.
Each night, how do you say it?
Viago,
Vladislav, and Deacon take the bus into town and prowl the streets of Wellington for people to kill.
And Deacon's human familiar, Jackie, who was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that was fucking great.
Runs errands for the vampires and cleans up the gore left behind by their feeding, which is... They always need that mundane character. Like, although, you know, very comparable to Guillermo is the familiar in the show.
Yeah, Guillermo is fantastic, though.
Guillermo's the best.
He outshines a lot of the cast.
He does.
A lot of times. So good.
Anyway, so Jackie, a married mother, hopes to attain immortality, but is frustrated that Deacon will not turn her into a vampire as promised.
Deacon requests that Jackie bring virgins to the flat so the vampires can feed on them.
She lures a woman who insulted her in primary school to her ex-boyfriend Nick to the flat.
Oh god, this the love how it turned around. Okay, though neither are actually virgins, the woman is killed and Nick is chased throughout the flat. In a very hilarious scene.
That was so funny.
And manages to get outside, only to be caught by Peter, who turns him into a vampire.
Oh my god, this scene is so funny. Because you just see Peter obviously come up wrecky shit, and they're like, Peter got him.
Yeah. Oh, poor guy.
I love the irony, too, of like, Jackie really wanted to be a vampire and intending to sabotage her ex-boyfriend from getting killed, and he gets what she wants.
It's
fucking hilarious.
Like, oh man.
So he looks out the window and Jackie's like waving her his way.
Like, hi! So 2 months later, the vampires accept Nick into their group and bond with his human friend Stu, a computer analyst who introduces them to modern technology.
Stu's the best.
That was really funny.
Viago uses the internet to find Catherine, who is now a 96-year-old widow living in a rest home in Wellington. And also briefly reconnects with his old servant, Philip.
Oh, Philip.
Philip is great.
Fun fact, Taika Waititi does speak German, and that was actually hit. He knows German.
Really?
So that bit where he's speaking German on Skype with his old familiar...
That's like legit?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's all, yeah. I was just like, oh, wow, that's really impressive.
I feel like all your interjections... By the way, you wonder how extra talented Taika Waititi is?
Right,
Here's another fact.
By the way, Taika Waititi's a god, anyway.
Yeah.
Despite being able to get his new friends into popular bars and clubs, Nick struggles to adapt to life as a vampire.
Oh, when he eats the chips?
Yeah.
Which also comes up again on the TV show.
Right. Nick is also held in contempt by Deacon, who resents Nick's newfound popularity and his careless revealing of his vampirism to strangers he meets, which is fucking amazing.
I'm a vampire. Do you know I'm a vampire?
Fucking literally walks up to everyone.
To a vampire hunter.
Yeah. You're a vampire? No way. You're a vampire? No way. Walks off.
One of these strangers, as Anthony previously mentioned, a vampire hunter, breaks into the flat basement during the day and kills Peter by exposing him to sunlight.
Oh, I actually felt for this scene, though.
I felt so bad.
Oh, when they're trying so hard, they're like, oh, you can't get in there, you're gonna die. And he's like, oh.
And then, Taika Waititi's character is holding back. Yeah. And it's like, no, you can't go in there. And they're like, oh, no, this is actually quite sad.
Oh, man. The vampires are furious when they discover Nick has... indirectly caused Peter's death, and Deacon tries to kill Nick before being interrupted by a police welfare check, which is also great.
That was so funny.
But Viago hypnotizes them into not noticing anything out of the ordinary. I love that scene.
He's like, do you see what I'm seeing? Do you see this? He's like, I absolutely. There's no smoke detector. Meanwhile, there's vampires just like
dead buddy down there. They're just like, yeah, you know, you get a bunch of friend to a bed or something. Like, take care of himself.
There's like a wall on top of him. It's like, looks like you passed out. You might want to take care of him. Once the police leave, Nick is banished from the flat by the remaining vampires, though Stu is permitted to come as he faces. The human friend's allowed to come in.
Shame.
This movie also does a great job with time sips, too, because several months later, the vampires receive an invitation to the annual Unholy Masquerade hosted for the local undead population of vampires, zombies, and witches.
It's like a prom.
Yeah.
What I liked about this, because they kind of go into it in the TV show, but vampires, or at least one character in the TV show, doesn't like witches, so we actually see witches.
Yeah, that's right.
We actually see witches in this, which I thought was cool. So, Vladislav refuses to attend after learning that the Beast will be the guest of honor.
Oh, man. When Viago and Deacon arrive at the ball, they find in attendance Nick, Stu, and Jackie, the latter of whom has been turned into a vampire by Nick.
Because she has a conflict with him before, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm done being familiar, and then this happens, which is fucking great.
The Beast is revealed to be Vladislav's ex-girlfriend, Pauline, and when Stu and the camera crew are discovered to be living humans, the party guests threaten to kill and feed on them. Vladislav arrives and fights with Pauline's new boyfriend, Julian.
Oh, man. Vladislav's, like, grand entrance is so funny, because before that, it's him being, like, a decrepit little gremlin in front of a computer, which was just... he was obsessed with poking people on Facebook.
Good old 2014 reference.
When they explain why he's a poker, and it's that, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, that's great. But Stu impales Julian on a flagpole, and the vampires and camera crew escape the ball with him, only to encounter a rival pack of werewolves who transform under the full moon.
The werewolves are one of the funniest parts of the movie.
Yeah.
Great. Werewolves, not swearwolves. Werewolves, not swearwolves. Great. Also, whose great idea was it to have a freaking, like, huge ball on a night of a full moon? Whose idea was that?
Yeah, right?
Horrible planning. Anyway, so Stu and one of the cameramen are mauled. Believing Stu to be dead, the vampires run away and grieve for him. A very touching moment.
After an indeterminate amount of time, Nick returns to the flat with Stu, who reveals he has survived the attack and transformed into a werewolf.
With Stu's urging, the pack visits the vampires along with Stu, and Nick's banishment is rescinded as well.
Oh. Though momentarily apprehensive, Deacon invites the werewolf pack inside. Viago also reconnects and rekindles his romance with Catherine, whom he turns into a vampire, and also hilarious, the age disparity there. It's like,
I know what you might be thinking. Yeah. Age difference. What's a however old he is doing with a 97? Scenes during the credits reveal that Vladislav has gotten back together with Pauline, repeating his cycle of self-inflicted torture over his relationship with her. And Jackie's husband is now serving as her familiar. And she immediately is just, like, changed immediately, super.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A post-credit scene shows Deacon attempting to hypnotize the audience to forget the events of the film.
I haven't seen this one.
I don't think I saw that.
You had to
watch.
You had
to watch all the way to the end of the credits.
Very end.
You could have fast-forwarded. I just watched the credits.
I also love the post-credit scene with he describing why he's the alpha with the pack, and he makes a joke that's not even really a joke, but everybody laughs. It's like, hey, so why'd you laugh, huh? Why'd you laugh? This is a funny situation. It's like, see, no, that's not a good answer. Yeah. But then Stu fucking nails it.
And then Stu's just like, well, everyone else is laughing. He's like, that's the fucking answer.
Oh.
Stu is so funny, just the most awkward guy. And everyone's like, we just decided we're not going to eat Stu.
Everyone just likes Stu.
He's like so non-confrontational.
I know.
Yeah.
He's just kind of there. I love that. So that's the movie. I hope everyone watched it and then came back to listen. Welcome back. So let's dive right into discussion. What are your thoughts, everyone, about What We Do in the Shadows?
I mean, I feel like we've expressed our thoughts, but why
dive into it?
You're the guest here, the newest guest. You got to go first, man. Thoughts on What We Do in the Shadows?
I mean, my thoughts were, I thought it was great. I love Parks and Rec and stuff like that, so it fits in perfectly. I love how the concept of taking, like, you know, vampires, you think of like Underworld or Twilight or all this stuff, and it just takes it and makes it this whole nonchalant, like, yeah, we people. Whatever. And I think that's so fucking funny. I love Taika Waititi's just style of the way he does his movies and the way he free flows with it.
Yeah.
I'm super impressed with him in general because he really came up by making his own stuff that was all weird. So, like, he probably couldn't have pitched this to a studio and had them, like, buy the script. He kind of had to make it on his own. And all of his movies have kind of been that way. You can tell it's a Taika Waititi movie.
I think so. He does have a super distinctive style.
Yeah, totally. And he just, like, he builds it on his own and does it. I super respect that. And I think that's why it's, like, this cult following now. Like we were saying, like, people are tired of Twilight and Underworld and your typical vampire shit. So this comes on and just, it spoofs it, but it still works and it's funny. Like, you could be a legit vampire fan and still love this movie because it's not saying, like, it's stupid. It's just putting this funny, like, view on it.
Yeah. What happened?
Here's a funny little tidbit. I guess Harvey Gillian and Matt Berry were both in this, the original movie. I don't remember them being in
there. Where were they?
I don't know, but it didn't say, but it shows them as part of the cast on Ghoul.
Oh, okay. So that if you search What We Do in the Shadows, so that, I know exactly what, they're not actually in it. Cause
it shows all of them collectively.
It collects the cast. They're never mind. Because I thought Matt Berry was in the original movie too, and I was like, there's no fucking way. I totally would have remembered.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Guillermo too. I would have been like, oh, yeah, that's Guillermo.
James was just like, oh, shit, I'm Mexican.
Oh, well.
Oh, man. No, yeah, I honestly, like, his style is so distinctive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really... Third in the filmmaker like him, and I'm glad that he got his chops somewhere else. Because Hollywood would have fucked him up, I think, early on in his career.
Yeah, totally.
It would have distilled what makes him him.
Yeah.
He got into prominence when he was, like, a really well-honed filmmaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody can take that from him.
So. I'm just like, because, okay, has anyone seen Hunt for the Wilder People?
I haven't seen that one. No.
I really want to see it. Yeah, it looks really cool. But basically, he did this, he did Boy, he did Hunt for the Wilder People, and then they gave him Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pedigree right there.
No, but then, like, imagine doing those three movies, which are very kind of quirky, comedy, drama-ish type movies, and then suddenly Marvel being like, here you go!
And not only that, but he made one of the most successful Marvel movies.
One of one of the strongest Marvel entries of the last,
Well, that brings a good point, actually. I think... So, the old Thor movies before Ragnarok suffered from the same thing vampire movies suffered from before What We Do in the Shadows.
That's a good point.
Super self-serious.
Yeah.
Super take themselves way too seriously.
And people were over it.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, no, he refreshed the fuck out of vampires in a way like most people haven't done it. So...
Yeah, the comedy in Thor Ragnarok fucking just unmatched.
That's still like my top two or three favorite Marvel movies.
It's one of my favorites too. It's so good. I'm so excited for Thor Love and Thunder.
Seriously.
James, any thoughts on that?
I hated it.
Bullshit.
No, I mean, I love the show. I love the movie. It's so funny. And already what we've already touched on is the fact that it's very self-aware. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so much more funny.
That's what makes it.
And just like, seriously, even though it took so long for them to make the references and making fun of other vampire entries in this movie is great. Like I said, the Lost Boys reference.
Yeah.
Like, I crack up every time.
Or like the, you're not Twilight! Stop saying you're Twilight!
Yeah. I mean, they even do it in the show. I think in one of the first few episodes, Nandor, he's like, yeah, I want to be sparkly. Like, So they do that same level of self-awareness in...
I love the show so much.
It's so good.
I gotta watch it.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's easily like my favorite show on TV.
Nice.
Every time, like, we waited so long and we're like, oh my god, they finally announced a new season. We're like rushed to watch
like
it.
It's a perfect balance of just like self-aware and just funny characters that all have just like such great personalities. Mm-hmm. Naja's such a bitch, but she's so good.
Yeah. Not just, and her doll.
Yeah.
Dude, like I'm telling you why, dude. The level of special effects and, like, the actual lore they build in this show, fucking fantastic.
I'm definitely going to watch it, for sure.
It's the same basic principles, except for it's a show.
Yeah. Bite-sized and takes place in Staten Island.
Yeah, instead of them being in New Zealand, they're in Staten Island.
Oh, really?
It's great. Okay. Yeah.
It's super cool.
I'm down to watch it, for sure.
So, thoughts?
Do
you ready to give your thoughts?
Yeah. I gave him as Wyatt was going on.
It was a collective.
He just jumped shit.
I was speaking and he just took over my spot.
Yeah, basically.
See, and he didn't fight it back, so as a guest, that's strike one. Alright?
I'm gonna get better. Next podcast, I'm just gonna start by cussing you out.
Yeah, basically.
See? You have to tell him to fuck off.
Failed the first trial.
Anyway, so I really like this movie. I mentioned before, I watched it first in, like, 2020. This was just so much fun. Like, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, I've seen mockumentaries before. I love found footage anything, even regardless if it's, like, the traditional horror tropes of a found footage. This is in the similar vein.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was super fun. There's not much more to say about it. Right. But
there's nothing bad to say about this movie.
There really is.
I mean, there's a reason it has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, yeah, right? You seriously. Know, like, I can see...
Who's the other 4% Find these fuckers.
People with no taste. No, yeah, but some...
Don't like comedies.
Truly, some of the... And it's funny, because I'm not a huge comedy person.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But I love this. I think that there's a dryness to this that I can definitely see it not being for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You were to, like... I don't know if I'd even necessarily, if you love this, I wouldn't even necessarily recommend, like, Flight of the Conchords. Because Flight of the Conchords is super fucking dry.
Yeah.
But fun.
Yeah, it's that type of humor. Like, you know, some people aren't going to like it. But I feel like you either really don't like dry humor or you fucking love it. And I feel like a lot of people
I think, I do think I kind of go in between. But I love Flight of the Conchords. Okay. I loved this. Don't like The Office. But
I don't like The Office either. But I love Parks and Rec, and I love What We Do in the Shadows.
So
I love The Office.
Yeah.
I wonder how would you feel about Party Down? Because that has, like...
I think she would like Party Down.
Yeah, Party Down. It's such a good show.
It's a great show.
Have you seen Party Down?
No, I don't even know what it is.
Dude, it's about actors who are caterers.
I need to watch this.
It's great. So good.
How do I not know about this show?
It's so good.
They're doing a revival, but their first two seasons are somewhere.
I forget. It's probably Stars or something.
Yeah.
This is from, like, 2009. Okay.
Yeah. But it's a fantastic show.
Yeah, it actually had a lot of influence from early episodes of The Office.
Gotcha.
Like, in terms of the cringe.
Yeah, no, it's... I don't know. Maybe I'd have to give it another shot. Nah, I don't think I'm going to, but...
I think you would like Party Down, though. Definitely a shot.
Maybe. If I'm ever in a comedy mood and I stop watching Law & Order SVU.
It's also sad, too, which is fun.
Oh, okay.
Which is fun.
So this is a mockumentary that is blissfully self-aware, as we previously mentioned, especially when it comes to vampire movie references. We kind of talked about this already, but did you find it successful, its self-awareness and its references to other vampire movies or vampire lore?
Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's one of the best things that tackles vampires. Like, it knows vampires. Yeah. Like,
I think it did a great job at doing all that without going too far.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it didn't really make fun of itself, but at the same time, like, make fun of everything it needed to.
I think, like, the characters themselves really did a great job.
Yeah.
Like the characters themselves were archetypes, which we're going to get into next, but the way that the characters made fun of themselves just by existing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, good movie still.
Thanks, writer.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we run out of juice. I don't know what you want from me. I love the references. And like Quinn said, I think it tackles vampires really well. It humanizes vampires in a way that movies have tried to before and failed miserably.
That's what I liked about it.
And, like, that's what's great about it. Like, we were talking about Taika Waititi's character, like, trying not to make a mess. It's so funny because it's like, that's something that I'm sure has popped in everybody's head at one point. Like, how do they, like, not care about getting soaked with blood or blood getting everywhere or whatever? And he literally, like, tries to stop that.
Yeah.
What I love is these vampires aren't miserable.
Right,
yeah.
Like, in most other, like, I mean, Interview with a Vampire, Twilight, or, you know, Vampire Diaries. I keep bringing it up because Kevin Williamson. like, those kinds of things that where it's just like, the vampires are so angsty, and they're very, like, woe is me, I am cursed with this immortal life, blah, 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 blah. And this is, I mean, obviously it's a comedy, so there's supposed to be humor elements, but they're very much just like, this is my life. Like, this is just how it is now. And the TV show does that as well. And I'm really excited to talk about the TV show at some point. But we see a brief moment of that with Nick, where he's just like, okay, I'm done being a vampire. I'm over this shit. And he just has to keep going because he's got forever to go.
I think the only other happy vampires in vampire history prior to this is Lost Boys, whenever Kiefer Sutherland says Michael's name. That's it. Just with the passion in his voice.
I like anything that kind of does something different with the trope or genre in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what We Do in the Shadows does. But and I brought it up here. I brought it up on the podcast before, but also Daybreakers.
Yes, still haven't seen it.
That's a good fucking movie.
It's such a great movie, really, and it does something so interesting with vampires. Mm. And I've talked about it before, but I'll bring it up again. The premise is that the world is turned inside and out. Yeah. Inside out, vampires are now rule the world, but they're running out of blood. So they try to create a synthetic blood that's not working. And because they don't feed, they start turning and devolving into these like archaic, dangerous vampires that will literally eat each other.
They're not intelligent anymore. They turn like these rabid animals if they don't
And it's such
blood.
A cool way to look at like the vampire world and like... It's,
but then there's more to it. The plot gets even...
Yeah, it's just a great movie. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like when... Tropes like that are played with when they're changed in that way. Mm-hmm. That's what makes them so good and interesting. That's what We Do in the Shadows does.
It's just God, this is like a stacked cast. Ethan Hawke, Willem Dafoe, Sam Neill.
I agree with James. Like, if you haven't seen this movie, you need to watch it. It's a fucking...
This is why I keep bringing it up. Every time we talk about vampires, I'm like, please watch David.
It's really fucking good.
And we forgot about it and made a vampire themed month.
And then, I know. You should have put that on there.
I'm sorry. We only had two vampire slots.
We had two vampire slots. That's
true. It's fine. But like, seriously, people, go watch it.
I can only do so much because we also have to talk about John Carpenter's Vampires.
That's true. That's another one.
That's also has something that's got to come up. So if you guys need more vampire movies, let us know.
Yeah. Daybreakers.
Daybreakers. I'd second that.
Yeah. All
right, we'll keep them in mind.
Keep it in mind. So this is, this is our third week of Vampires versus Ghosts. And this is the first time we've had guests during this month. So you two.
I'm special.
Vampires or ghosts.
That's right.
Who wins?
Yeah.
Who wins in a fight or who do you like better?
You know what?
I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with vampires for the simple reason that like ghosts and exorcisms and all that is so played out to me now that I can't stand it anymore. So I'm going to go with vampires.
I'm going to go with vampires too, but for a different reason. I think just because vampires have more like lore and interesting like stuff going on that you can play with in different ways, and ghosts are kind of like, they're just dead and spooky and
a little scary.
I like some ghost stuff too, but I think I like more vampire things if I had to pick.
Yeah, I can see that.
I would say there's more vampire movies that I like than I do like ghost movies.
I would agree with that.
So that
makes sense.
You are outnumbered.
I am outnumbered in this thing. And to be fair, I only pick ghosts just to be antagonistic to Alex.
Just to be an asshole, like always.
Just to be a dick.
They're probably down the middle for me. So I was like, Alex is saying something about vampires. Let's just talk shit and just throw some ghosts in there.
I feel like it's also kind of hard to clarify too. Like, would you consider The Shining a ghost movie?
Mm. I mean, spirits and
I would.
Yeah. Well, because I would say it's a possession movie, so that has to do with ghosts, right?
Like, yeah, so it can kind of go either way with that.
I would say it's like it's a ghost movie. It's like the biggest haunted house movie.
You should have did like ghosts versus vampires versus monsters.
Oh, well, we got a hole.
You know, in May.
Never mind.
Spoiler alert.
In May, there's stuff happening.
Maybe.
Remember, guys, we get two theme months a year, so just saying.
We've done so many themes.
Yeah.
We have so many.
And upcoming Trash Month.
Possibly. We have to find a month to put it.
August.
We're running out. August is our break.
Yeah.
Damn it.
November.
I like how it's February, and you're like, what are we going to do in November?
It's so weird, because like we'll plot out ahead like three or four months, typically.
Yeah.
And but then we'll realize, this month happened, so let's add another one, and we're like, before we know it, we only have so many, there's so much horror movies.
That's true.
We don't realize how many there are.
Yeah, we're never going to run out.
We're really not going to run out.
I mean, and they're making more and more and more. So
Yeah.
No, it's crazy because I'll be like, I've been wanting to do this movie. And I think about it, I'm like, I've been wanting to do this movie for like 4 years. Holy shit.
And it just never came up.
It just never comes up. Like, I had to rearrange birthday month because people had fucked up schedules. And
also, he didn't want to depress every single person ever.
Yeah, with a movie I've been trying to do again forever.
We're never going to do it.
Season 5, we'll see.
We're just gonna keep
Trash month.
It's not trash month.
No, it's a very, very dark movie.
Psycho Goreman has got to be on that list, by the way.
Oh, I almost picked that. For June.
Damn.
Yeah.
You should have.
Sorry.
It's such a ridiculous movie. It's such a ridiculous premise.
It was on the list.
We watched it. We were just sitting there. Me and Nat were just sitting there looking at each other like, ugh. Let's just get through this movie.
Let's just get through it.
But there's, like, it's so bad, it's good. Never mind. Just.
And in last week's episode, we determined that Ghost Ship would also be in Trash Month.
Yeah. We talked about that last
week. I only remember the very beginning of that movie with the fucking wire.
Yeah, the wire. Yeah. I think that's the only thing anyone remembers.
Yeah, it stands out.
That is a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghost Pretty Ship. Trashy.
Yeah. And then we got to, of course, do Thanksgiving 3. Zombievers. Sharknado, if we have time.
A lot of garbage. I'm
surprised you haven't done Sharknado.
Trash month.
Trash month.
The mythical trash month. Okay.
It's his white whale.
It is. It is. I've been talking about it for a while now.
Anyway, so moving right along.
I think we talked a bunch about the TV show.
Yeah,
right?
I'm just skipping. You told me to run the discussion.
Sorry. Yeah, way to micromanage, Fuang.
Right.
Jesus.
Continue.
So we were talking about this before we recorded, but between Peter Jackson and Taika Waititi, what is it with New Zealand and horror creators?
This is going to sound a little mean,
uh-huh.
And I don't mean it to, because people in New Zealand are great.
#cancelgames.
But maybe it's because there's nothing to do out there. And I mean that with all due respect.
After a while, you get tired of looking at the landscape, and you're like, okay, I need to write
one
a story.
One of the most beautiful...
I mean, the people that live there look at it every day. At some point, they're going to be like, all right, yeah, you know?
You'd be cool, a ghost.
One of the most beautiful places in the entire world.
Look, man, look, they're great. They beat COVID and showed the world how to do it. They do a lot of great things. There's a lot of great UFC fighters that come from that area. I'm with New Zealand all day, but I'm just saying, maybe it got boring and they were like, we need to write our way out of this place. Just saying. Maybe that's what happened.
You know what? Okay, that's a great theory.
Because you think about a like, small town, like all the writers that come from small towns and like, I'm going to write my way out of this place, and they do. That's just kind of what I'm thinking.
No,
But there's also like a lot of writers that write themselves out of that place and don't make it, and they're just
very true.
They're kind of on the streets at that point.
And then there's a lot of writers that actually write themselves into cabins because they're like, I can't deal with the real world. And they're like, I'm gonna like stone myself away for 8 months and come up with a script, and then I'll appear, and then I'll go back.
Are you giving us a spoiler for your career in 8 years?
Basically,
yeah.
Again, I hate to bring him up again, but Kevin Williamson wrote Scream over a weekend in a hotel room in, like, Palm Springs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He just locked himself in a room and was like, I gotta do something or else I'm not getting any money ever again.
In 10 years, James was gonna release a script that was outdated 8 years ago.
Exactly. Exactly. That's my career.
He's gonna come back and not even, like, the opposite, no beard. Yeah. No fucking beard. Yeah. It's like, wow, dude, your hairline went better?
Yeah, right?
You got the hair follicle transplants?
Yeah. Change them up here.
This Don King look at the top.
Yeah, I think it's Alaska State, their creative writing MFA. They give you a cabin that you get to go to and write.
What could go wrong?
Right. But anyway.
They just give you a cabin and tequila and a handgun and everything's fine.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, now go write the great American novel. Right? Yeah.
Like, and it's perfect. We've only had 2 grizzly bear fatalities this year. That's it. Just 2.
I'm just saying. Look, man. I might end up in the forest, people.
Unlimited Wi-Fi, a bottle of tequila, and a laptop. And it's like, just go.
Just go. Be free.
Be free. Trap and release. Just go.
Someone walks in your hotel room every day. He's like, I'm your #1 fan.
Yeah, right?
Good Lord.
So anyway, that's my theory.
Yeah.
By the way, we love you, New Zealand. That's all.
No, it's true. New Zealand, I've wanted to go... since forever, and it looks beautiful.
Same here. I mean, honestly, like, I feel like New Zealand, it's a whole different hemisphere. They're even separated from the continent that's there, Australia.
Yeah.
Like, they're always kind of the underdogs. So, that probably breeds a lot of creativity.
If you're known for being an underdog and making great content, like, it's a pretty good sign,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so. And plus, they have a really good standard of living. Nobody's, like, stressing out as much.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Kind of probably just a really good place to thrive, I would say.
Honestly, if I had to move to a different country, it'd be Australia or New Zealand.
No.
Good for you. Not I'm Australia. Talking about
Not
me.
Australia. Don't go there. You're gonna get eaten by something.
If I die,
that place is
frightening. Oh my gosh, I can see like a Alex moving to Australia and then having that one shot from Castaway where it's like a jellyfish walking and the fucking spear comes and just and it packs up and Alex is like 100 yards away like just holding it.
Why do you think I'm going to be living in like...
You know they have like houses there, right?
And why would you kill and eat a jellyfish?
But most jellyfish there will kill you.
That's what I mean. She's just been making herself safe.
I love... You know what? I'm not even going to dignify this with a response.
I'm like, don't go there. We don't want you to die. And he's like, yeah, go fucking kill a
dog. Live in the outback, Alex. You can handle it.
No, I can't. I'm not saying I want to go live in the outback. I'm saying I want to live in, like, I don't know, civilization.
That's what I'm saying. They have, like, major cities there and airports.
But the good thing is because Australia is close to the equator, I think it's, like, 85 degrees year-round. So,
as I say, on Christmas Day, is going to be, like,
I hate the cold.
I'm with you on that one. I'll come visit.
I'll come visit, but then the second I see something that could eat me, I'm gone.
I'm fucking gone. Like, if I see anything move, I'm out.
Okay, that's true. I mean, but here's the thing. It's like, I don't have a fear of spiders.
It's not just that I'm scared of. There's all kinds of...
Like, the trees can fuck you up.
Mm-hmm. Nature doesn't scare me.
Oh, it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, there's trees in Australia.
You know what scares me? Space. Once everyone starts going to live in space.
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck that.
I am home.
I am home.
That's what you're going to do and disappear. Yeah, Australian.
I'm just going to go forever into the fucking wilderness and I'll be like, fuck you guys.
I am home.
Cut your eyes
out and just float through space.
Oh, man.
I also like how we jumped to talking about Australia, a country that has nothing to do with this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because I said New Zealand and or Australia. Yeah.
I was like, no, don't go there!
Don't go there!
Followed up by James telling New Zealanders they have nothing to do. just immediately after. By the way,
and
Australia...
And you assuming that they all live in caves.
I assumed Australians live in caves, so New Zealanders are probably happy with that reference.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the final episode of
Horror. We're going to get canceled for looking like dumb Americans.
No, I just realized too, when looking at our stats, we have New Zealand listeners.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
We actually have a pretty good chunk.
I already said New Zealand's great. You people are great. I'm just saying.
You people?
The creatures that live in New Zealand. That's his tone right now.
I didn't say that. You know what? Whatever.
I'm the only person on this podcast.
I didn't say that either.
I know.
What is this?
Wyatt's been here just like, yeah, it would be a good place to go. They don't live in caves. They don't live in caves.
They do make good movies.
New Zealandites. New Zealandians, whatever you're called, you're great.
Wyatt's like, this is...
New Zealanders? Kiwis?
Kiwis?
They're called Kiwis.
Is that offensive?
What?
Is Kiwis offensive?
I thought Kiwi was offensive.
I think it's offensive.
No, that's what they call themselves.
Hold on.
Can you pull that up?
Yeah. While you're waiting, you can all watch What We Do in the Shadows. It's a great movie by Taika Waititi.
You can accidentally say a slur.
You would be that person. You would be that person.
You would be.
Huh? I gotta know now. It's already on fucking record.
Okay. We're good.
It's not
Kiwi is a common self-reference used by New Zealanders, though it is not used internationally. Unlike many demographic labels, its usage is not considered offensive. Rather, it is generally viewed as a symbol of pride and endearment for most people of New Zealand.
Yes. That's their word, Fwang.
There was a caveat that said it's not used internationally, so I think
you
it's
skipped
like...
Your head out, right?
Way to go, Fwang.
I'm co-opting the word.
Selective listening at its peak. Anyway, this is why it's like hostile takeover.
For
he's
real,
like
I
he
just
like
came in here.
He slowly was just like, you're saying something offensive. You're saying something offensive. This is my podcast now.
I came here to talk about a fun movie. I'm defending the whole country.
He's like, look at me. This is my podcast.
Oh, that's great.
Oh,
man. Good job, Wyatt.
All right. You're welcome, New Zealand.
The champion of New Zealand.
Right.
Anyway, so...
You're welcome to Kiwi Fucks.
Stop it!
That was fun.
Wow.
And now you know why everyone hates you.
Yeah.
Good God. Anyway, you've become a vampire. Who's your vampire roommate? Is there tension?
First person I'm killing is Flynn.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
like, I don't want to see you eternally, so we're just going to eat you.
Yeah.
Basically. Like, anybody?
Like, I mean, we can go, like, within the friend group, you have to build your vampire, like, roommate situation akin to the movie. I'm asking...
I mean, I hate having roommates now. If I had to have one for all of eternity, I would stake myself in the heart.
Stake myself in the heart, okay. There you go.
I would say the worst would worst person to be with of all eternity would be Phil.
He's not even here to defend himself.
That's why I do it. Can you imagine listening to that guy for all of eternity? Come on. Come on, people.
Oh my god, his Criterion collection for eternity?
For eternity, yes.
Oh my god, he'd be talking about uncut gems. He'd be doing uncut gems impressions like 2 centuries later.
He would be doing impressions for people.
Adam Sandler died 500 years ago, so stop talking about it.
History forgot Adam Sandler. Right.
I think, personally, if I were a vampire and the person I'd get along the most with that would be a vampire would be Enrique, because I think we would both kill without caring who we were killing. And we would never have tension because of that.
I'd bite you. I'd bite Alex. Yeah, because I would think, like, okay, no, we human vampire, we do the podcast at night, like, it'll work out. And then logistically, I'm like, no, we should just eternally have her around.
What a good friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm also a great fucking roommate, so.
Yeah, she is much cleaner than I am also, so it's perfect.
That's why you went around forever, so you can clean after your lazy ass.
No, no, I will learn to clean over a century. Eventually. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Century. After 100 years, I'll put my dishes away.
I just, all I request
if
is just...
If it got into a 5-year no dishes situation, I would kick your ass. Like, if it got to a point where there was, like, eternal life, it entered the conversation, and I knew, like, harm could be done to you without actual harm, I would kick your ass.
I would just, all I would ask is just have the one chair I can throw my jackets on. That's it. That's just, I just need the one chair.
I mean,
chair.
That's the foot of my bed. That's
yeah,
my
exactly.
Chair.
I need one spot. That's it. It'll be okay. Yeah. So, well, logistically, I think it makes sense.
Okay, fair enough.
Worst person, I don't want to look exactly to my right over here. No,
I was listening at home. That's James.
Hi.
Hi.
No, I can tolerate James. I would actually say the amount of shit talking between me and Cordova, we've done it already.
I think you guys would kill each other.
I think we'd already done it for like,
so
we know each other for 20 years.
You'd be vampires forever. And the amount of shit talking forever.
Yeah, it would be a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So,
there'd be a lot of like,
so much. Oh, so much.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, he would go and kill somebody, and then Alex would say he's not doing it right. he would say he's doing it right, and then they'd be at each other's throats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Basically, that's what it would be.
It's been that for 20 years over, like, internet, you know, text and stuff.
Right, so, sure.
Yeah. No, that'd be it. All right.
Wouldn't it be great if Flynn was a vampire, so during Smash you could just, like, hit him and not feel bad?
Oh. Imagine if all of you were vampires and playing Smash.
Oh my
and then
god,
just, like,
there'd be blood.
It would just be like...
Yeah.
We'd be like on the ceilings, just up like...
Basically.
Oh, that'd be great. All right, what's for you?
I like living alone.
That's what I'm saying. I can't think of anybody
would want. I live alone.
Here's a better question. If you were a vampire out of everybody in the group, who would your familiar be?
Ooh, good question.
Who could you dangle the carrot in front of for like a decade?
For a decade?
God, still back to Phil. It kind of has that Guillermo vibe sometimes.
I was going to say Fuen immediately. He would be my familiar.
Remind me what that means.
Familiar is just the one that...
It's a human who basically cleans up after you.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
promise yeah. You're getting eternal life.
It's your human slave, essentially, yeah, that you say you're going to turn into a vampire whenever you do.
The see? One chick in the movie, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll see in the show who it is. But yeah. Fuen would be my familiar all day.
You pretend like I would... I would let the sunlight pierce. Like, I would let the sunlight pierce one day.
Yeah, or also, he just said he wasn't clean.
That's true, but...
Like, but I know James would have fun dangling the carrot of immortality. Yeah. I know that would be the case.
Definitely.
And considering my aging, I can probably do it for a little longer.
That's true. Probably Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. He's definitely Guillermo.
He has Guillermo energy.
He does. He really does.
Why?
That's right, son. Can't defend yourself.
I'm going to give the same answer just because I can't think of anyone else.
Is it Phil?
He's going to listen to this.
I'm just going to throw you on their bus because nothing else comes to mind.
Oh, man.
That's funny. All right. So let's wrap this up. Rate this movie out of 5 bowls of basketti.
Do you like basketti?
How are your worms?
I'm going to give it I'd say 4 bowls of basketti out of 5. All I would right. say.
4.
Solid movie. I wouldn't say, like, you know, one of my all-time favorites, but, like, I highly recommend watching it, and I can't really... state any flaws with it.
Yeah, that can't say flaws either.
Yeah.
James?
Actually, that's a very fair rating. I'm going to do the same. A very strong 4.
Yeah, very strong.
Very
four.
Strong four.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's only because I prefer the show.
Yeah.
That I gave it a strong four, but it's still a great movie, and go watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually going to say 4.5. 4.5. Yeah, it's really like it is actually I would say like a 5-star movie, but again, I like the show better.
Yeah.
And oh, the only reason it's not that as perfect is because yeah, there's another medium that did it the same thing but better.
But better.
That's
exactly.
It. That's the only mark really. And yeah. But the movie itself is flawless.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I went back to my Horror 2020 challenge, mm-hmm. in which I watched this movie for the first time. I give it a 4.75 out of 5.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 4.5
okay.
bowls of Paschetti out of 5 now. Yeah, it's a great movie. I love it. It's really enjoyable. There's nothing really bad I can say about it.
Yeah, I can't think
of any major complaints.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay.
We did it.
I think that's it. Next week, we are closing out Ghosts vs. Vampires with a ghost movie.
With one of the ghost movies.
Which one is it? What could it be?
Ghost Ship.
Yes, that's it. This movie could have been a two-parter, but it's not. So, sorry about that.
Yeah.
So, I hope you'll tune in next week for that. And Wyatt and James will be back for that as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If the show's not canceled for when talking shit about it.
And join in for more Phil bashing.
More than likely. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard, please write a review on iTunes or leave a review on Spotify, or a rating on Spotify, I should say. They just released a new rating system, so that would be super duper helpful for us. And then if you would like, we also have a Patreon. You can find us on patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. We have tiers as low as $5 a month, so you can check us out there if you feel so inclined. Thank you so much if you do so. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. Where can people find you, Wyatt? Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Would you like to promote anything?
It's being worked on at the moment.
Okay,
you can find me on Instagram, Wyatt65. I'm on YouTube, Wyatt Turner. I make a couple videos. I do acting, so I'm going to have some film stuff coming up soon. I make my own videos talking about some current like entertainment shit on YouTube. Check it out if you want to. I talk shit about Phil and Fun all the time. So.
Yeah, that's true. He does. and you know, the music scene. So all together. Really good.
James, anything you'd like to...
No. Look, man. You want to find me through their posts about the podcast? Do your homework.
Do your research.
Do your damn research. Find me, follow me, do what you want.
It's like, oh, the Cartman technique. I don't want you to follow me.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah,
works
got
every time.
Got him.
Sex Panther. 60% of the time.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you next week. And if, I don't know, you think you're being followed by a vampire, you probably are.
Yes.
And go watch this movie, because if you don't, we will put you through the procession of shame.
And then watch Daybreakers after.
And be careful when you bite in the neck. It could really be messy.
Yeah.
Shame.
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 Shame. Shame. Shame.